This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, December the 12th, 2008. It was an up week in Chicago. Can it be maintained? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing out of Boca Raton, Florida. Our panelists today in studio are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group from Decatur, Illinois, and Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Paul Cooley, is the action this week the beginning of a climb higher or just a move toward the top end of the trading range?
My humble opinion is that I think the worst is over in energy, the stock market, and I think that we are starting to see some basic seeds being planted for some stability in the agricultural commodities as well.
Paul Cooley with a humble and confident opinion that the worst is over. Wayne Nelson?
Well, I sure hope Paul's right, because that would sure mean a lot of people feeling a whole lot better about things, but I'm just a tad scared that this economy isn't quite ready to get better yet, but not meaning that we can't be forming bottoms here and can't be going in a sideways uptrend and that maybe we've seen the worst, and we sure hope that's what it is.
And Wayne and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
I think we've probably seen the bottom for the year anyway, and now we're going to spend some time consolidating. I still think we have some demand issues to confront the market, but price action, you have to be definitely encouraged the way the market was able to at least climb back into the trading range it was occurring prior to this recent dip down here that we saw, especially last week in beans. Corn, we're not quite back in there, but at least we're at the bottom end of that 380-450 trading range that we had there during most of October and November.
Generally speaking, Dan, I'd say with this few days left in the year, predicting the bottom of the year was in was not that tough a deal.
No, in this type of market, who knows?
well, apparently Paul Cooley does, because he's pretty sure that things aren't going to get that bad. Tell me, Wayne, because you think that things are still shaky, what is it in the marketplace that has you rattled yet? Is it China, or are there other things that are out there?
I think it's the job losses, the number of the unemployment number going on up, the continuing closures that we keep hearing, the cutbacks and all the layoffs going on, and just in general the economy. And as I think, as we see the Christmas numbers when they're done, they're going to be lagging way behind what we thought they were. The positive thing, though, Todd, is though individual debt went down last month.
Positives?
I think a couple things that we're looking at as far as positive issues. My general impression is that I think the big worry is that we're going to see inflation in 2 or 3 years. But I think the big thing that we're looking at is that we're going to see the ethanol mandate, the blending go up from basically 10% up to possibly 14 to 15%. I think that the second area of interest is that I think the new administration is going to drop about $500 billion in new infrastructure plays. We are seeing evidence that the green revolution is still alive with the new administration. So I think that we are looking at new opportunities there with the new administration spending and also the green revolution.
Corn market, let's talk about it just a bit. December corn this week, a high of 365, a low at 296 and three quarters. Settlement price, a gain of 66 cents week over week, 359 and a half the settlement for the December. Next year's December, the 09 crop at 421 and a half, up 70 and a quarter. A whole series of numbers out this week, Dan Zwicker. Which ones were you most impressed with? Were they the numbers that came out Tuesday from USDA, ending stocks, both for national and global figures, or were the Informa numbers on Friday more interesting to you?
I suppose you have to, from the bull side of the equation, you probably like the Informa numbers that came out on corn. I think for those of us that had the ear to the ground, felt that those numbers were, that the market was missing the boat, especially USDA people talking about a 90 million acre planting. That still may happen, but for those of us that's been talking to farmers, knew that that wasn't going to happen, at least at current day prices anyway, and current day fertilizer prices. So that gave the market the most boost. I think USDA's numbers were pretty well worked into the market. I think there's still some demand issues yet in corn to come with. I think the market is working or fearful that carryout could climb as high as 2 billion before it's over with, unless something happens fairly quickly on the ethanol front.
So here's the series of numbers, and we'll start with the Tuesday numbers that were released from USDA. On corn, it now says there will be a 1.474 billion bushel carryout. That's well up from the $1.124 billion that was estimated in November. And then Informa took a look at what the acreage figure might be for 2009, and we'll compare to that to what was put in the ground in 2008. The number is 3.6 million acres lower. USDA had the 08 crop at 85.88 million acres for corn. Informa says the 09 crop will be at 82.28 million acres for corn. And then we've got the wheat numbers as well. They see a change of 2.1 million acres year over year, a loss for wheat. And soybean numbers, a gain of 5.5 million acres. So are those numbers in range with what you would see?
My couple things. When prices are cheap, we somehow lose acreage in the total mix. In corn, we do hear about this high-priced inputs, but my general impression is that these Sparks numbers are a guess into the future, and nobody can read tea leaves, and particularly the farmers' minds, as of December the 12th. There's nobody that has that clear feeling. The third thing that we're looking at here is that the soybean acreage, anybody that puts a bean on a soybean field and plants them again the next year is going to have a yield loss of 7 to 12 bushels or even more. When we talk to people, that's going to take place in some of the fringe areas where it's not the higher yielding percentage. If a person does put beans on beans, he probably should call the auction truck or cash rent it to somebody else or do something else, because you're just behind before you get there. And we're looking at yield drops here and things like that. So things aren't as bad as far as total production as what those big, scary Informa numbers indicate. And I really doubt if that's the true picture when we get into the March time frame.
Well, so what you're really telling me is that you believe the price of corn is undervalued, and that there will be more corn, and that there will be more corn acres, and that there will be more corn acres, though.
Than what Informa says, yes.
That what Informa says.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a 3.6 million acre drop in corn acres.
Your estimates?
Well, Todd, as we've been out and seen and talking to farmers, we took a survey at the bi-state meeting over at the Beef House last week. Farmers were not cutting back on their corn acres much. We saw that happening. Talked to other small groups at seed corn meetings, things like that. They're not cutting back greatly. They are cutting back on the amount of fertilizer they are talking about buying unless fertilizer prices come down. But as far as cutting back on corn acres, I don't think we're going to see this kind of reduction when it comes time to put it in the ground. How many times we sat here over the last 20 years, and it doesn't pencil out to make a lot of money on corn when it's going in the ground, but the farmer still plants it.
Dan, have you and the group at ADM started to talk more about national yield as opposed to number of acres this year, simply because of the fertilizer problems and nitrogen potentially be cutting back? Or do you think it will be that much of a difference?
Well, I think statistically you can kind of look at what's happened to corn yield over the past several years, and you can kind of say probably on a trend line basis we're gaining 2 bushels a year on a trend line. There is no doubt that visiting with farmers, they're real concerned about price prospects, profit potential for the coming year, especially when they look at their input costs. I do get a feeling visiting with them, though, that their options are kind of more open today than they've ever been. I think a lot of fall tillage work was taking place, especially in the eastern Corn Belt. The western Corn Belt kind of got weathered out, so they're pretty well done for the year. But I do think farmers are still flexible. If the market sends them the signal to plant corn, I think they will try to do that, especially in the northern, more productive soils of the Corn Belt. But I think when you get into the lighter soils in the south and in some parts of the east, I think there's going to be a big jump in soybean acres.
Wayne, it looked to me like you had something to say about whether we should be talking about national yield.
I think that one of the things we want to look at, Todd, is that most of these farmers have done a very excellent job of maintaining their fertilization levels, and that 1 year cutting back generally hasn't seemed to hurt the corn yields that bad. We know of a couple cases where they knew they were losing the farm the next year, and they put nothing but the nitrogen on, and they still made 240 bushel corn this fall.
All right, well, let's move on to wheat and soybeans. December wheat this week, a high of 550, a low at 499 and three quarters. Settlement price up 40 and a half cents. 530 and a quarter was the settlement for that December contract. July at 536 and three quarters. And the July contract settled up 35 and a quarter for the week. Soy complex, January beans, 865 and three quarters on the high, the low at 788 and a half. Settlement price up 71 and a half cents at $8.55. And November beans, 872. A settlement there up 69 and a half. Numbers for the soybeans from Informum. Once again, a 5.5 million acre increase in planted acreage, according to them. Soybeans on the ending stocks now 205 million. And that, of course, is the same as USDA's November estimate. So not a lot of action really in the numbers from USDA this week for the beans.
Let's go even worldwide. If you think it's expensive to plant corn and soybeans here in the state of Illinois, it's even more expensive to a great extent in South America. We know the South American producer is a year or 2 years behind on paying for his machinery. The government's winked at them and said, go on and farm and pay for the machinery when we're not going to repossess it for these large international machinery companies. We know they cut back on fertilizer and inputs as well. My private meteorologist that I have the most confidence in basically thinks Argentina is going to skip through with only 60% of normal rainfall for the month of December. He's not very generous for rain for the month, and we do think that there is a trend that we will be looking at some drier weather. That's one factor among the stock market and crude oil improving that I thought the grains did put in a pretty good performance. There were some massive people in there that were short the marketplace on Friday, and it was a wake-up call that not everything just goes down in price.
Indeed. Tell me about technical picture for whichever crop you decide to talk about. Which one is most interesting?
Well, soybeans, let's look at March futures. So, okay. That kind of had a bottom in during this October, first half November in this 850, 840 range, had a higher end range somewhere around 990. Late last week, we broke down underneath that 850 range. We kind of went about halfway into maybe we were in a $1.50 range, so we kind of went 70 cents or 75 cents underneath that for a day or two. And now we've climbed back into that with March beans closing out the week here about 8.56 or so. So we've kind of climbed back into that trading range, $1.50 trading range that we were in before we dipped below it. So that's a strong indication that this break here underneath this 8.50 was kind of a give up, flush out. long liquidation type break prior to the end of the year. And I think that the snapback that we saw this week and the way we finished out is at least technically supportive to the idea that the door now is open for beans to try to gain some strength here over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Speaking of finishing up, we'll finish up the front half of our program in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing. He's in Boca Raton, Florida. Here's some of the rest of the numbers from the CME Group. Livestock finished the nearby December contract for live cattle at 83.32.5. Week over week, $1.77.5 the gain. January feeder cattle up 52.5 cents on the week at $86.20. Lean hogs finished the December contract at $56.25. They finished $1.42.5 lower this week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Winter weather continued this week across Illinois, although there was a little bit of moderation between weather systems that crossed through the state. Temperatures this week range from 4 to 6 degrees below normal in central and southern Illinois, but 8 to 10 degrees below normal over northern Illinois, where snow cover was deeper and more persistent. Precipitation was well above normal in northern and far southern Illinois this week and near normal central. Much of the state received some rain on Tuesday, with the rain changing to snow in northern Illinois, causing travel problems there as up to 5 inches accumulated in some locations. High pressure brought sunny but cool weather to Illinois on Thursday, and that was followed by another weak weather system on Friday. From all indications, we will continue to be in an active weather pattern for the foreseeable future. A strong cold front will knife through Illinois on Sunday night, preceded by a warm and windy weather regime on Sunday. That front will bring a change to sharply colder weather on Monday and for the first half of the week. Some light snow may be possible on Wednesday, and another strong storm system will likely be approaching Illinois by next weekend. If that occurs, it will bring precipitation to Illinois and much of the Midwest. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded the 12th of December, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In studio with us today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Our guest by phone is John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing. He's in Boca Raton, Florida. Good afternoon to you, John.
Hi, Todd.
It's a beautiful day there.
It has been a very nice day, a little overcast, but nice.
All right. And how did you see the marketplace for the week?
I thought the marketplace really signaled that people have been too negative. It's so easy to become really negative when everything is headed downward, and people tend to lose track of where price levels are and that kind of thing. And I think that we left an island bottom in the bean market, and we left a pretty sharp V bottom in the corn market as well.
I guess I want to ask this one question. If you don't mind, John, I'd like to ask it across the board and maybe just a one-word yes or no. And the question is the price of corn undervalued, in your opinion, at this time? And we'll start with you, John, and then I'll ask quickly the other folks, too.
If it's not undervalued, it's clear down at the bottom side of value because we're down on the cost of production.
I'm one that believes that the market has the prices valued all the time.
I think that until crude goes back up, it's valued fairly.
Yeah, I think Wayne hit the nail on the head. Crude oil is the magic answer, but I think it's extremely cheap, both crude oil and corn.
All right, and then John, we'll come back to you, and maybe we can start with that question. You think crude oil is the magic answer in the whole print mix?
I think it's a big component of it. I think really the bigger answer, though, is confidence in markets around the world. And I think what's happened is that we've allowed the prices of everything that's an investable product get down to some very low levels. It's probably more noticeable over in the equity market than it is in the commodity market, but prices are too cheap relative to about every measurable standard that I know. When you see T-bills this year, this week, that 30-day T-bills went out with no interest rate. I mean, we're in a distorted situation, and it all has to do with fear and confidence in the world markets.
Question is how long do you think that will last, or what will it take to change that level of confidence?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, that's the first answer. But if we take a look at what we're about to do, we're about to change administrations in Washington. We have a new president coming in with arguably the most popular popularity, the highest level of popularity amongst the population that we've had. We have Congress that is hearing their constituents and the pain that's being felt out there due to this economic turndown. So I think there's going to be more money flowing into our economy from our government than we've ever seen before. We're going to look back at this and say, holy cow, we didn't think they could spend that much money, but they did.
Do you think the ethanol business is going to recoup, like the government, of course, took $300 million out this last report. Will we recoup any of that, or at least hold at that level?
And it's going to really depend on the margins and how people work their processing. When you have movement in the market, such as we're having here this week, and we've really had for several weeks, there's opportunities for people to take small positions, catch a rally in the energies, and lay off the ethanol and catch a break in the grain and re-own grain. So there's enough movement back and forth that I think that the good managers of ethanol businesses will continue to control more and more bushels.
This is a question that we reflect back to the August timeframe. Should the Department of Agriculture and even the Fed have stepped up and offered hedgers in the grain industry money? And the second part of the question is, do you think the wheat delivery system will help stabilize, runaway markets like wheat, for example?
On the first question, it's a shame. It's a real shame that the money game got to be so big that the real users of the marketplace got shut out. And that's a real shame. And that's what occurred this summer. And I think that the whole index fund business and exchange traded funds and the ability of various people to come in and move small markets long distances, I think that the regulatory people have got to take a very strong look at that, because that caused us a lot of problems and it's continued to cause problems, I believe. So it's too bad we didn't have some kind of a movement in that direction. But let me flip it over to the other side, and that is that producers need to look at this summer as a wake-up call, because producers became complacent and being confident that their local buyer would be able to take care of their marketing for them, and the reality of that is that's a risky position to be in, and the producers who weren't prepared to be making some of their own sales on the futures themselves put themselves at a horribly competitive disadvantage to those producers who were willing to step up and do their own hedging. So I think producers need to look at that and say, I don't ever get caught again like that. If I have a marketing plan that says I'm going to sell at these price levels, I'm going to be able to do that. I'll have my mechanisms in place to do it.
What does that mean? Does that mean that they have to be willing to put up the margins and risk the hedge then?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I think that the producers will do that, and there will be others that don't. And I think what they'll find is they'll move to a greater and greater competitive disadvantage if they're unable to make sales that they want to make.
How about, is the Board of Trade or the Mercantile Exchange now going to do anything about the convergence or delivery points so farmers can actually deliver stuff? Or are they going to still just keep in the big grain companies' hands and make it unreal as usual? I think that, we had a lot of guys that got caught. They had wheat hedged. They did do just what you said, but they come down and in, and all of a sudden they got a $2, $2.50 basis that didn't used to be there because we didn't have convergence.
Right. And the only thing that they can do in that period of time is they've got to be in a position to be able to store longer, because those wide basis levels that you just described have now evaporated down to more traditional levels. So you don't always get what you want exactly when you want to have it, so you have to have some flexibility to be able to do that. And I don't think that we're really seeing delivery situations change enough that we're really going to put the farmer in a delivery position.
Well, I think, I guess a comment on what Wayne said on wide bases and delivery and convergence and that, how do you see that playing out? Do you see that if we would have another big rally, do you think we would see, we would return back to the wide basis levels that we had this summer?
I think you can bet on it. If we get another rally similar to ones we had this last summer that was speculatively driven, you can just expect the cash market to drag behind the futures market, and the only way to take advantage is you have to have a longer storage capability to be able to hang on.
John, give us a flat price and what the July futures are going to be on the 4th of July weekend for corn and soybeans. You can give us a ballpark figure, and we won't remember it, by the way.
I have no idea. The only thing that I know is that where we've been is we've been in a period of time where supplies look burdensome, and I'm just talking about the last 2-3 months. Supplies look burdensome, demand is puny, and nobody can see an answer to get us out of the situation we're in. I think as we move into the spring months, we're going to start talking about weather in the Northern Hemisphere and crop sizes in the Northern Hemisphere. One of the things that people might have missed this last year, but I look at the major world feed exporters. And in the case of wheat, it's Argentina, Australia, Canada, and the European community of 27 countries. And then if you look at coarse grains, I look at Argentina, Australia, Canada, Brazil, the European 27, Russia, and Ukraine. And the combination of all those wheat and coarse grain numbers for those countries in 2006, the production was 473 million tons. In 2007, 2008 crop, it was 473 million tons, incidentally about the same number. In 2008, it was 545 million metric tons. So it was 80-some million tons bigger in 1 year. And when you look down through country by country, you see those countries being Russia, Ukraine, and Europe, to a lesser degree, Canada and Australia. But the point that I have is that we're not going to have those kind of crop sizes this next year. We already know that the Ukrainian crop is going to be down probably 8.5% on, as far as acreage is concerned. We know the Brazilian corn crop is going to be down. Their winter crop, they won't plant maybe half of that crop is all. We know that we're going to have reduced input going on to those acres. So I think we're going to look back and see this year's production level as a blip upward in some of these, I don't want to quite call them fringe countries, but they're the growth countries. And
John,
that blip is not going to be there next year.
We appreciate it, John. John Roach is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Boca Raton. A quick final word from our panelist in studio, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Just wish everyone a Merry Christmas and happy holidays, and I do believe the markets will start out the year in a little better shape than what we're ending in.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
A little optimism going into the holidays, Todd.
And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Be very patient.
Thank you much for all of you for joining us here on Commodity Week. You have a great weekend and a good week. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll